After 12 days of mourning, Bharat and Shatrughna placed the ashes of Dasarath Maharaj into the Sarayu River. Shatrughna, he was so angry. As they were walking back to the palace, he was saying, "That evil, wicked Mantara. She has corrupted your mother in this way, and your mother is such a fool that she allowed this demoness to pervert her intelligence." As they were speaking in this way, Mantara was just walking out of the palace. She had very costly silken garments and luxurious jewels and ornaments all over her body. Shatrughna flared up like a forest fire of rage. The guards at the palace, they grabbed Mantara and they put her before Shatrughna and said, "This is the woman that caused the banishment of Ram and Sita and Lakshman." Shatrughna grabbed her by the hair and threw her to the ground. He said, "You evil woman, today you will be tortured, today you will die." Shatrughna grabbed her and started violently throwing her on the ground again and again and again and again and again. He was just dragging her all over the place. Mantara was screaming and crying. All of her beautiful ornaments were broken all over the place. Her clothes were ripped up and falling apart. Her limbs were being smashed. She was bleeding. And Shatrughna just kept saying, "Evil woman, go to hell!" And he was praying. Meanwhile, Kaikeyi saw this and she went running to Bharat, crying, "Please don't let her kill my maidservant." Bharat said, "Shatrughna, stop. She deserves to die. She deserves to go to hell. But she's a woman. And we have Kshatriyas. And it is the Kshatriya code that we cannot kill a woman. So please, leave her alone. If not for this code of Kshatriya morality, I would kill my very mother at this very moment for the cruel acts that she has performed." The ministers approached Vasishtha Muni and said, "Ayodhya's in chaos. There's no leader. We have to have a leader. We must coronate Bharat as king immediately." So Vasishtha Muni and the other great sages and ministers, they approached Bharat Maharaj and said, "Your father is dead and your elder brother is in the forest. We are ready to coronate you as the king today. All of the necessary arrangements have been made." Bharat said, "It is our family tradition that the eldest son is the king when the father dies. Only Ram can be coronated as king. I will not and I cannot accept it." He went to the golden throne of the where the coronation was to be made, and he circumambulated it and told Vasishtha Muni and the others that, "I will go to the forest and I will convince Ram to come back to be king." When he said that, all the citizens of Ayodhya, they rejoiced. "Yes, this is the right thing to do." Bharat said, "Let us bring our armies. Let us bring all the senior citizens, the mothers, and let us go and all appeal and beg and not come back until Ram agrees to sit on the throne of Ayodhya." So they built big road. It took about 1 month. So that the chariots, the elephants, the armies, the ministers, the queens, the princes could all travel through the forest. Sumantra told them, as far as he knew, where Ram had gone. In fact, Maharaj Guha sent spies, and he knew that Ram had gone to Bharadraj Muni's ashram on his way to Chitrakoot. So they traveled. They came to the kingdom of Guha. Maharaj Guha, he had big armies too, but they were forest dwellers. He saw the flag of Bharat flying high above his chariot. He said to his soldiers, "This Bharat, he's already usurped the kingdom of Ram, and now he's coming to the forest with this big army to kill him, to make sure he never comes back. We will stop him. We will fight and we will die if that is what is required to serve Lord Ram." When Bharat was met by King Guha, Guha Maharaj said to him, "Why? Why are you coming with all these armies? Aren't you satisfied with the kingdom? You have it." Another crushing blow to the heart of Bharat. With tears in his eyes, he appealed to Guha to understand he had nothing to do with this banishment. "In fact, I'm going to beg Ram to come back and be king." Guha Maharaj was very satisfied, and he arranged hundreds and hundreds of boats to take them across Ganga. Then they approached Prayag, where the ashram of Bharadraj Muni. When Bharadraj Muni saw Bharat, "Bharat, you are coming with all these armies? Is it that you want to kill Ram so he can't come back after 14 years? You already have the kingdom. Why don't you be satisfied?" Like a thunderbolt, this great rishi speaking, Bharat Maharaj begged and appealed to him with tears streaming from his eyes incessantly. "But I love Ram with my heart and soul. I am coming to appeal to him to come back. And if necessary, I will stay in the forest for 14 years. Bharadraj Maharaj was very pleased to see the devotion and humility of Bharat. By his mystic powers, he wanted to do some seva. This large retinue that had come from Ayodhya, there were thousands and thousands of people. He created palaces and godowns and wonderful feasts and dancing musicians. And all night long they had very, very enjoyable time. And the next morning they proceeded toward Chitrakoot." Sita Ram and Lakshman were sitting in the very quiet forest near the Mandakini Ganga, hearing the sweet birds and the mantras of the great sadhus and brahmins. All of a sudden they heard loud rumbling sounds. They saw dust rising from a distance away. Ram told Lakshman, "Climb that tree and see who is it that is coming. It sounds like a large army." Lakshman climbed the tree. He looked over and he saw the flag of Bharat. He said, "It is Bharat. He is coming to kill you, Ram." Lakshman took his bow and arrow and said, "This is the fulfillment of a great desire. Today I will see Bharat, that rascal, face to face, and I will slay him. After taking his life, then we will watch Kaikeyi suffer for her sins. And if necessary, today I will destroy the entire army of Ayodhya." Lord Ram
He said, Lakshman, never speak like that. Bharat loves me as much as you love me. In his mind, he could never think of harming me. Bharat had nothing to do with his mother's evil deeds. In fact, I'm sure he's coming here to beg me to come back to Ayodhya to sit on the throne. How, Lakshman, can you think or speak about such a great personality in such a harsh and violent way? Lakshman was ashamed of himself. He said, yes, my dear Ram, what you're saying is true. Meanwhile, Bharat, he was looking to see where Ram may be. He also climbed up on a tree to see. There he saw some smoke rising, and he understood this must be the place that Sitaram and Lakshman are performing their yajnas. Then Bharat kept his army back, and he and Shatrughna and Vishishta Muni, they went ahead. As he came closer, he saw a beautiful thatched cottage. And standing outside the cottage was the illustrious bows of Ram and Lakshman. Nearby he saw Sri Ram, Sri Lakshman, and Sita Devi. Bharat and Shatrughna, as fast as they possibly could, they came running to the Lord. They approached Lord Ram, and Bharat fell at his lotus feet, grasping onto his feet, weeping and crying. Sri Ram lifted him up, with great love, embraced him. It was at this moment that the eternally glorified pastime of Sri Ram and Bharat embracing on the foot of the mountain of Chitrakoot was enacted. How they embraced and bathed each other with their tears. Simultaneously, Lakshman and Shatrughna, his younger brother, also embraced very affectionately, bathing each other with their tears. Bharat spoke, gazing his eyes on the transcendentally beautiful form of Sri Ramchandra. Alas, alas, my brother, you deserve to be sitting on the beautiful golden throne of the kingdom of the world. But instead, you are sitting on the hard ground, surrounded by the deer of the forest. You deserve to be wearing the royal garments of a king, and you are clad with the barks of a tree. Please come home. I have come here to bring you back to Ayodhya. Please know, my lord, that I never approved of what my mother has done. What she did was sinful and evil. Please come home. The citizens of Ayodhya are in a constant state of weeping and crying for your return. Please satisfy their hearts. Lord Ram replied, I see my father's royal elephant with the white umbrella on top of it, leading the procession. I do not see my father. Where is he? Why has he not come? Please tell me, Bharat. Where is my father? Bharat explained that while repeating your name, drowning in the ocean of separation from you, our dear father, King Dasarath, gave up his body. When Lord Ram heard this, he fell to the ground in grief, tears pouring from his lotus-like eyes. He began to extol the glories of Maharaj Dasarath in terms of his fatherly love and affection upon Ram throughout Ram's life. Then Ram turned to Lakshman and Sita and informed them that you are both without a father, for Dasarath is dead. They all began to cry grievously. They all fell to the ground. This was the love that these great souls had for one another. Please do not misunderstand this to be material bodily affection. These are the divine sentiments of ecstatic separation between the Lord and his devotees. Some people have an impersonal idea of God. Some people think to be godly means your heart and your senses and your mind become hard like stone, indifferent to everything of this world. An advanced devotee of the Lord, his mind and senses become indifferent to enjoying and exploiting this world. But his heart becomes infinitely soft in love and compassion and mercy toward others. And this is the quality of God himself. When his beloved devotee died, Ram began to weep. But he didn't weep like an ordinary son crying for the death of the father. He was not under the illusion that his father was his body. He had full realization. Krishna explains in Gita, Jayatim Riyate Vakata Chinnayam Butva Bhavata Banabuya Adronitya Shashvato Yam Purano Nahanyate Hanyamane Sarive, that for the soul there is neither birth nor death. It is not slain when the body is slain. Asochanan Vasocha Swam Pragyavadam Shtabashase Gatasamakatasum Sanonu Shochanti Panditaha. Krishna says in Gita that the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead, because they know. Vasamsi janani yatha vihaya navani granati naroparani tatha sarirani vihaya janani anyati samyani navani dehi. Death is nothing more than a change of clothes for the eternal soul. So Krishna is telling Arjuna and telling all of us, do not lament at the death of the body, because it is inevitable. It is due to ignorance of the true identity of the spirit soul. Krishna is teaching that. But in that same personality of Krishna, in his form of Ram, he is weeping and crying and falling unconscious when his father dies. Ram was not crying out of ignorance. He was not crying because of the loss of the body of his father. But because he loves his devotee to such extreme extent, he was crying in separation from that devotee. Knowing that his father has gone back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha.
Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, along with Sita, went to Mandakini Ganga. And there, Sri Ram
offered oblations of water to the deceased soul of his father.
After performing these last rites, all of them together, they cried so loud that the soldiers of the army of Ayodhya were a distance away. They heard it. Immediately they were thinking that Ram has been told about the death of his father, and they are all crying together. There's no other way or reason for them to be crying like this. So then the soldiers came, and the mothers also came. Kausalya embraced her beloved child, Sri Ramchandra, with tears in her eyes to see him living with matted hair. When Ramchandra and Lakshmi were at the ashram of Maharaj Guha, they arranged to get the sap from a banyan tree and mix it to mat their hair. What is it called? Jatha. Seeing her son in this condition broke her heart. She was quite speechless. She embraced Sita with great love and affection, as did Sumitra meet with Lakshman. It was a glorious reunion. Bharat said to Ram that you have fulfilled the vow of your father. The kingdom was given to me, but I've come here to give it to you. So the vow is complete. Now come back and rule us. Lord Ram said, that was only half. I was banished to the forest for 14 years. Bharat insisted that you don't have to follow this vow, because our father has deceased, and it was a vow based on immorality and cruelty. It didn't come from his heart. It was due to merciless pressure. But Ram said that now our father is dead, and it is the duty of the son to protect the integrity of the father's soul by not making him a liar. He must remain in the forest. Bharat pleaded with him, then you go back to Ayodhya and I will stay in the forest, living by eating roots, wearing tree bark with matted hair for the next 14 years. The Lord responded that we each have our duty to perform. Bharat said, well, if you stay in the forest, then I'm staying in the forest with you, but I will not return to Ayodhya without you. Sri Ram replied that, my dear Bharat, it is your duty to return to Ayodhya to rule the citizen, and it is my duty to remain in the forest for 14 years. It is your duty to sit under the silken umbrella of the king upon the throne, and it is my duty to sit on the hard ground with the canopy of the forest trees above me. Vasishtha Muni was trying to quote so many shastric references to justify Ram's return to Ayodhya. But Ram was very firm. people were seeing that he was not going to budge. Bharat was trying anything and everything he possibly could to convince Ram to return. There was one sage of the name Jabali. Jabali, he said, "What is this nonsense you're talking about? Your duty to your father? Your father's dead. There is no soul. All there is this body. And all this talk about morality and the next life, it's all just so much imagination. It's the duty of every living being to enjoy as much as he possibly can while he's alive. And not spoil one's life with all this nonsense asceticism. For what? You suffer throughout your life and then you die and that's all. So all these connections of morality and asceticism and your father's deceased soul and his word of honor, it's all bogus. Just go back and be king and enjoy."
Lord Ram looked at him and said, "Only a wicked fool will deny the existence of the soul and act immorally." Vasishtha Muni said, "Actually, Ram, he doesn't really believe this. He's just saying anything to get you to come back."
Jabali said, yes, actually, I'm just saying anything. I don't know what I'm saying. Please come." When Vasishtha Muni failed and Bharat failed, they turned to the great Brahmins of Ayodhya. The Brahmins, they said that Ram is not going to come back. His heart is fixed on preserving the truth. His father has given his word, and he must protect the honor of his father. He must protect his father from committing a sin and corrupting his soul. When all else failed, Bharat brought forward a pair of wooden sandals that were decorated with gold. He placed them before Lord Ramchandra. He said, "My Lord, please step on these sandals, and I will coronate these sandals as the king of Ayodhya. They will sit on the throne for the next 14 years. And for myself, I will mat my hair, put on the bark of trees as my only clothes, only eat the roots that grow wild in the forest, and I will live in a hermitage just like yours, not in the city, but in the jungle outside of Ayodhya. And every day I will rule the kingdom as representative in the mood of servant of these sandals." Lord Sri Ram stepped in the sandals. Then he stepped out of the sandals. He handed them to Bharat and said, "Yes, you may do as you so desire." There was a very loving farewell between the denizens of Ayodhya and Sita Ram and Lakshman. Bharat took those wooden sandals and put them on the elephant of the emperor under the canopy. He marched back to Ayodhya, and he had arranged Vasishtha Muni to perform the coronation of the king of the world to Ram's wooden sandals. Bharat personally installed them like deities on the throne of the king. And for the next 14 years, Bharat lived as a self-imposed ascetic, only eating roots. Some acharyas say that he only took some barley soaked in cow urine with matted hair and the skin of trees on his body, sleeping on the hard ground, because he felt that he could not accept a position any higher than his beloved and worshipable Lord, Sri Ram. Actually, during this exchange, as Bharat was leaving, Ram embraced him and told him that your humility is your qualification to rule the world. And Ram gave him all blessings. He performed all the responsibilities of the king, but accepted none of the pleasures, none of the comforts, none of the opulences of a king. Those were all given to the sandals of Sri Ram.